Welcome to the Portland Pentecostals podcast. We're happy you've decided to join us as we build a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the message.
Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Come on, shout hallelujah.
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 One of the understandings of hallelujah is defined as giving all of yourself to Him. One definition is, I give my entire being or self to Jehovah, to God. That's why some would describe that as the highest praise, because when you give all of you, not a portion of you, a half of you, a piece of you, but all of you to Him, there is no higher praise. There is no higher worship than to say, God, everything that I am, every piece of my life belongs to You. You know why that's such a high praise? Because we are imitating the one who did it first, Jesus Christ, who hung on a cross and said, I give all of myself to You. Amen. I'm not going to preach a sermon today, but I do want to impart faith for just a few moments. So you just stay ready, but I want to read just a portion of Scripture while you're standing in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, and some of us understand this today, that this is where the church began. Amen. Now, this specific local church body began, I believe, in the Hansons' home years ago. But that wasn't the origin of this church. That was the origin maybe of this specific meeting of people. Amen. But the beginning and the origin of this church, of the church, is right here in Acts chapter 1. In verse 4 it says, being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith He, you've heard of Me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall. Everybody say, you shall.
You shall.
You shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Everybody say, the Holy Ghost.
Holy Ghost.
Not many days hence. Jesus gave this promise and said, you shall. Not you can or might, but He said, you're going to. You will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost not many days from now.
Amen.
I want you to turn to somebody and say, you shall. I want you to turn back to them and I want you to add one word to that and say it again. I want you to say, you shall receive. Amen. One more time, I want us to lift up our hands before we're seated. I want us to go ahead and position ourselves. And I want us to say, God, today I'm going to receive everything that You have for me. By the authority of the Word of God and by the power that's in the name of Jesus Christ, I declare a mighty and great outpouring of the Holy Spirit this day. Somebody shout hallelujah. Clap your hands with faith. Oh, clap your hands with faith. Turn to somebody else that you haven't talked to and say, you shall receive. Amen. And you may be seated very quickly. Y'all stay close. Stay ready. Amen. I want to build faith for a moment through some understanding, and that might sound contradictory because at times faith and understanding are contradictory to one another. I've asked this church here before, and I know this church is a smart church. I can prove that to you by asking a question like, what is 2 + 2? And you would say, there's about 10 people who answered that question. If I asked what was 2 + 2, you would say for. And you didn't answer that with faith. You answered that with understanding. And a lot of people try to come to God with understanding when you can only approach Him with faith. A lot of people try to approach God by what they understand, what they know, what's convenient to them, and when it's a good time. But the truth of the matter is, it'll really never all be perfect and in order. It's never all going to be lined up. And the best time to come to Him is really the worst time. Y'all missed it. I said the best time to reach for Him is in your worst moments. The best time to get on your knees and pray is when you're broken and in despair and weak and defeated. The best time to lift up your eyes under the hills is when you're in the valley of a shadow of death. So I just encourage all of you today, don't try to approach God with understanding, but approach Him with faith. But for just a few moments, let me give you a little bit of understanding, because I do believe that understanding can be a gateway of faith. That when you understand just enough and you understand just a portion, then you can use that understanding to propel you forward into faith. For instance, you must know that God does exist. And I've got four elements of faith, four very basic, fundamental, foundational elements of faith that nobody can negotiate me out of. That when me, this full-time preacher, when I'm faced with unbelief and I'm faced with doubt and I'm faced with the opposition of faith, I always go back to these four understandings. That number one, there is a Creator. You cannot out-argue me that this was just by happenstance and serendipitous, spontaneous experience. This was not an accident. I'm not an astrophysicist or a scientist. I can't even spell astrophysicist. And if I say it a few more times, I might be speaking in tongues. But I tell you today that you cannot convince me that this universe was by accident. You can't convince me that this world was by accident. You can't convince me that all of this creation we see around us and the universe, that we cannot even get beyond our own galaxy. We cannot even peer into the outer realms of darkness of this universe with man-made objects such as the Hubble Space Telescope. You can't tell me that all of that was an accident. So therefore, I stand today on the first element of faith, that there is a Creator. But secondly, the next step is that Creator is God. The reason why many people, even atheists and scientific atheists or others like Stephen Hawking, he's admitted, who is one of the smartest men to have ever lived, and he had even admitted that there is a superior being, a Creator, something before us. He said, but I will not call Him God. The reason why people refuse to call their Creator God is because the moment you acknowledge that there is a God, you acknowledge that there's a responsibility to that God. So there is a God, and that brings us to what that responsibility is of that God and of us to that God, and that is relationship. So my step three of faith is that God, who is Creator, wants a relationship with you. How do you know that? You can't out-argue me of that step of faith, because why would God just randomly make a world and a humanity, a man and a woman, just for fun? Just a laboratory experiment. Let's just see what these crazy people do. Now, we'll be honest. It would have been a good experiment, because all of us here love to people watch. You can't find me a TV show good enough that's better than people watching. I think TV shows is a form of people watching, I suppose. But there is no drama, no movie. There is no performance that's better than sitting at the airport and just watching people. What they wear, how they talk, how they treat each other. It's just fun, isn't it? Going to the mall. You don't have to shop. Just sit down and watch people act crazy. Nothing, especially in Portland, huh? Keep Portland weird. Come on. You think I'm being prejudiced? No, I'm weird too. I'm from Austin. I thought Austin had the first motto, keep Austin weird. Everybody says, keep Austin weird. And then I came to Portland and met my girlfriend, who's now my wife. And everywhere was saying, people were saying, keep Portland weird. I thought, man, I think they take the cake. I love it. Keep Austin weird. Amen. We're all weirdos. I'm from Austin. I'm weird. My wife is from Portland. She's weird. And we got married, and now we got a little baby weirdo. So I guess it would have been a pretty cool experiment for God to just say, I'm bored. Let me create humanity and just see how they act. But he didn't do that. He created you. He created man out of the dust of the earth with his own hands. And when he could have just left him like that and given him a little bit of energy and given him a little bit of adrenaline or given him a little bit of life. But he didn't do that. He stooped down low and he breathed his own breath into the soul of humanity, giving him a life because he said, I want to know you. I want to be in. When he breathed his own breath into humanity, he put in you a desire to know God. That's why people follow the supernatural, even when it's crazy. People follow science fiction because they want to know what's beyond the natural, what's beyond humanity. There's people that follow cults and different things, and they do crazy stuff. They do crazy stuff because they want a piece of the supernatural. They drink the Kool-Aid and they do some weird stuff, you know, because they want the supernatural. But let's not judge them. We do some crazy stuff too. I had to take my camera out and just video a bunch of you crazy people in here today worshiping God. I want to send it to some of those dead churches and say, this is what a real church looks like. When you want the supernatural, you've got to be willing to go beyond yourself and go beyond the natural and go beyond the average. You've got to be willing to look crazy. You've got to be willing to jump and shout. You've got to be willing to use your energy to give praise unto God. Somebody clap your hands for just a moment and give God that faith. And so that creator who is God, who wants relationship with you, gave us relationship through Jesus Christ. Yes. Yes. Amen. Yes. You can't out-argue me that. You can't out-negotiate me that. I've seen too much to go back now to anything else. I've experienced too much to go to anything else. One of my mentors always says, you can go from that to this, but you can't go from this to that. You want to know why my parents never took me to Disney World? Because we thought the grocery store parking lot carnival was Disney World. Y'all have those little, you know, prop-up carnivals that... I mean, it's scary. They put them up in less than 12 hours, it seems like. All right, come risk your life. It'll be $85, please. See, they could have afforded us going to Disney World once, but they knew if we take them once, they ain't ever going to be satisfied with Albertson's Carnival. You know what I'm talking about? Walmart Carnival. You know what I'm talking about? Rolling back prices. We could take them to Disney World once, but we can't afford every year. Right. See, you could go from the carnival to Disney World, but you can't go from the Disney World to the carnival. You think, what's missing? You can go from anything out there to this, but you can't ever go from this to that and still be satisfied. We've got the power of the Holy Ghost. We've got the power of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We've got the demonstration of His Spirit and power. Oh, would you clap your hands with faith? Hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
In Acts chapter 1, Jesus had told them, this promise of my Spirit is coming. It's on its way. You just wait a little bit longer. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1, it came when it says the day of Pentecost was fully come. That was a day of celebration. It was a festival for them, for those people, the Jewish people. And when that day came, they were all with one accord in one place. That's what we're here doing today. I was looking around at the diversity of worship, and I thought, you know, this is a unified worship. Although you're dancing crazy, and he's doing something crazy, and she's doing something weird, and it's all different. It's all unified because it's not the way you worship, it's the who you worship. It's not the way you worship, it's the who you worship. As long as you do worship, and as long as you worship Jesus Christ, you can roll on the floor, you can do back flips, you can do front flips, you can sit down and clap your hands, you can cry, you can talk in tongues. It don't matter the way you worship, as long as you know the who that you worship. They were in one mind. Everybody say one mind.
One mind.
And they were in one place. Everybody say one place.
One place.
See, we may look different, act different, talk different, be different, but we are in one mind because we are here worshiping the one God of all creation. And we are in one place. I had to pause to give credence to that point because if it happened for them, when they were in one mind in one place, it will happen for us today. Verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing. Everybody say rushing. See, when God opens the door of heaven, when he opens that window of his glory to answer your prayer and to meet your need, he don't just take a stroll through the park taking his time. He don't just take his time acting as if everything's going to be all right. When he opens the door to an answered prayer of your situation, there's a scripture somewhere, I'm off here, but there's a scripture somewhere in the King James, it says it like this: though he bear long with him, he will answer them speedily, which means though he may sit back for a while, though he may just sit back and watch you pray for several weeks, months, and even years, and say, just keep on praying, the moment he answers, he's right there, and he's right on time. I preached a few days ago of the death of Lazarus, and Jesus was he was seemingly 4 days late to the resurrection party. Lazarus had been dead for 4 days, and he said, I'm delaying my departure for my glory so that you can see who I really am. I could have gotten there on time a few days ago, you see, but your on time is not God's on time. You think, God, you're late. And that's exactly what his sister said. Martha came out and said, you're late, Jesus. He's already dead. And now it's really too late because he's been dead 4 days and no one can raise from the grave after 4 days. If you had been here a few days ago, Jesus, she had yesterday faith. I preached this before, but I feel it on me again. She had yesterday faith. If you had been here yesterday. And then he said, well, hey, he spoke a word of faith and said, he's going to be all right. He's going to come out of the grave. He's going to resurrect. And it went in one ear and out the other and filtered through a yesterday faith and a tomorrow faith. Because she said, I know he's going to resurrect on the day of resurrection. That's the day we all go to heaven. That's the day of tomorrow. She said, I know he's going to be healed tomorrow. And he could have been healed yesterday. See, I feel like Jesus was just sitting there thinking to himself, see, you don't realize that I was, I will forever be, but even better than that, I am. I am. I am. I am. I'm the first. I'm the last. But I am the everlasting. Woo. Wait a second. Some of y'all jumped the gun because you know the end of the story, but for the rest of you, Jesus responded and said, Martha, I am the resurrection. I don't speak life, I am life. I don't give love, I am love. I don't give healing, I am healing. He said, I am the resurrection, I am the life. And though he were dead, yet shall he live. He walked up to that grave and it was stinking. They said, Jesus, by now it stinks. Turn to your neighbor and say, it stinks.
It stinks.
Say, it stinks.
It stinks.
I know about stinking. I had a stinking weekend. You know why I had a stinking weekend? My wife went off and preached some conference. Left me at home on crutches by myself taking care of my 2.5-year-old son. And you want to know why it stunk? I took him to the original pancake house on your accord. It stunk. You know why? Food was good. Took him to the bathroom. Went number one. Took him off the toilet. He said, Daddy, need to go poo-poo. I said, all right, put him on the toilet. He did his thing. I took him off to do my thing and help him out, clean him up. My phone rings. Now, this is just me. You know, I don't compartmentalize. I should have just said, delete phone or delete call. Call you back later. I'm cleaning up some mess here on aisle two, you know. I'm wiping his rear end on crutches, phone like this. Hello? How's it going? My phone, this phone, falls out of my shoulder into the toilet. Poo-poo and pee-pee all over my phone. I've sanitized it. No corona on it. It's all right. I sanitized it in boiling water and it still works. I told the guy who's on speakerphone, the phone's at the bottom of the toilet. I said, have to call you back. Then last night, I put Levi to bed. He's sleeping in my bed because Mama's gone. And I go to study and prepare for the service today. And I'm up late. And he's potty trained now, thank goodness. And I go into the room, and I smelled something funky in the room. I thought, man, we left some dirty socks around here or something. I said, oh, well, you know, I ain't going to find it now. I'm on crutches. It's can't see hand in front of my face. It's so dark. I get in bed, and the moment I lift the cover, I said, my God in heaven. I leaned over. I said, woo, he done pooped in his underwear. I'm on crutches. It's dark. It's the middle of the night. I had to pull him out of bed, put him on the toilet. He's falling over, saying, what's going on? I said, wake up. You poo-pooed in your underwear. He's reaching down and touching it with his hands. I'm trying to wipe it up and clean it up. I had a stinking weekend. Everybody say, it stinks. Yeah, you can look at your life right now and say, I've got some stinking situations in my life. I've got a stinking relationship that's falling apart. I've got a stinking past that's ridiculing my today. I've got a stinking addiction that's causing me to fall back time and time again. I've got a stinking job with a stinking boss. I don't know what to do, where to go, which way is up. I think you ought to look your eyes on Jesus today because God is about to speak faith and hope and life into your stinking situation. They said, it stinks. He said, I'll fix it. Get out of my way. Lazarus, get out of that grave. Hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. They were there with one mind in one place, and suddenly there came a sound as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues as a fire. It sat upon each. It was his spirit. Everybody say it was his spirit. It was His spirit. It sat upon. See, we all have spirits coming against us. Spirits of addiction, spirits of lust, spirit of offense, spirit of grief and depression and suicide. I had a man who's a minister today. He just told me last week, he said, I've had spirits of suicide in my mind. I had a gun to my head just weeks ago. I said, it's just a spirit. And we've got to stir up the Holy Spirit to get rid of that demonic spirit. It said the Spirit rested upon all of them like cloven tongues as a fire on each of them. And they were all filled. There was men and women alike. The Jewish people were in there on that upper room day. And all of them were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak. Everybody say, speak. Speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. This is what's about to happen in the next few minutes, is that you're going to give your voice of faith to God. But the Spirit is going to provide the words. You think, well, wasn't that just for them? I'm glad you asked. Because in the same chapter, just a few verses later, in Acts 2, verse 37, when the people who came, who did not receive, they said, what meaneth this? What is this? And people were mocking. And they said, okay, well, what do we need to do? What can we do to receive this? And Peter said in verse 38, repent, which means turn from your sins and go towards God. Turn from your ways. Let go of that situation. We already did that. We surrendered today. I surrender. That's a form of repentance. I turn. I let go. I can't do it anymore. Turn to God. Repent. He said, and be baptized. Every one of you. I want you to say these next words with me. Say, in the name of Jesus Christ. There is only power in that name. I believe in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, but I believe that Jesus is the revelation of that Father, of that Son, and of that Holy Spirit. How do you know that? How do you know that? Because in Isaiah, he prophesied of this coming Jesus. He said, and of his increase in glory, of his increase in peace, there will be no end. He said, we will call him Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. Which means if there was more than one, another one's not mighty. But he said, we're going to call Jesus the Mighty God. And we're going to call him the Everlasting Father. And we're going to call him the Prince of Peace. Wait a second. How do I know that he is the Father? Because when Philip asked him in John 14, show us the Father, Jesus said, Philip, you've been long enough with me to understand this by now. If you've seen me, you have seen the Father, because I and my Father are one. This is not a ridicule of any religion. This is not a condemnation of any form of Christianity. This is a word of faith and hope that all of the Godhead, Colossians 2:9, all the fullness of God dwells in the body of Jesus Christ. That's the scripture. All, everybody say all. Now you're going to get this all for a second. All of God was in the body of Jesus Christ. That's why he said, if you want to get to the Father, you got to go through me. Now what's so great about this? Because see, he is an all-inclusive kind of God. Which means when he deals with his people, he deals in his personality of being all inclusive. He's not divided. The Bible says he's no respecter of persons. He doesn't look at you and say, well, you can have this part of me and you can have that part of me. And well, because you did this and you know, you did that, and you can have this. And no. It says they were all filled with his spirit. And so watch, put that verse back up. In verse 38, it says, be baptized in Jesus' name, and you shall, it's a promise, you shall, it is a promise, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But stay right there, and I got to hit this point. See, if you've never received the Holy Ghost, and you've tried and tried and tried, I ask you, have you been baptized in Jesus' name? Because while they both are an obligation, as Jesus said in John 3:7, you must be born again. They're both an opportunity as well. Watch this, Revelation. I said this here a long time ago, but watch. According to the scripture, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost before you're baptized. We know that because of what happened in Acts chapter 10 at Cornelius' house. Before they were baptized, the Holy Ghost fell on these Gentiles. That's what you are, unless you're Jewish. It fell on the Gentiles for the first time, on these Gentile people before they were baptized. And so Peter said, hey, we've got to get these people baptized because they were just filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Now watch this. But according to the same Peter, he said that if you are baptized in Jesus' name, it's now God's obligation to fill you with His Spirit after your baptism. I had a young man, 16 or 17 year old, his name was Kobe, and over in Michigan. And longer story short, he prayed, couldn't get the Holy Ghost, couldn't break through to receive God's Spirit. That's okay. Some of us deal with that. But I said, Kobe, have you been baptized? After probably 30 minutes of praying with him, he said, no, I have not been baptized. I said, okay, you should be baptized today. What's stopping you from being baptized? He said, nothing's stopping me from being baptized. I had asked him, what's stopping you from receiving the Holy Ghost? And he said, I'm dealing with unbelief and doubt. I said, okay, I get that. But what's stopping you from being baptized? He said, nothing's stopping me. I said, let's go get baptized right now. I looked around, and some of you will remember this. I looked around, I found an usher. I said, hey, sir, can you direct this young man to where he needs to be baptized? That usher looked at me and said, he wants to be baptized? I said, yes, sir. That usher started crying. I said, what's wrong? He said, that's my son. He said, we've been praying for years for him to come to church. And he hasn't been coming to church for years, and he finally came today, and he never showed any interest in being baptized. I just can't believe that my son wants to be baptized. That usher brought him over to the baptistry tank. I videoed it. I might have showed it here last time. I videoed it as Kobe was baptized. I told him, I said, the moment you're baptized, it will now be God's obligation to give you the Holy Spirit. Because it says, if you are baptized in Jesus' name, you shall receive. Didn't you tell somebody here that today? You shall receive. You shall receive the Holy Ghost. And I promise you, I have the video. The very instant his head breached that water coming out, instantly as he gave his voice, he started speaking in other tongues, just like the Bible says. Hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But my greatest part, my favorite part, is in the next verse when this promise came as a prophecy. And Peter said, this promise. Everybody say, this promise.
This promise.
Everybody say, it's to you.
It's you.
Say, to your children.
Your children.
Say, to all.
All.
Say, to all.
All.
Say, to all.
All.
Who are what? Far off. He didn't say, this is to all those in the choir. He didn't say this is to all those that have it all together. He didn't say this is to all the priests and preachers and anointed and high and mighty and holy rollers. He said this is to all that are addicted, all that are broken, all that are confused, all that are depressed, all that are suicidal. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. I remember telling this here before as well, but I feel it upon me again that another time a lady came up to the altar and I prayed with her and I said, what do you need from God? A first time visitor. She was broken. I'm telling you, she was broken from the inside out. She was just broken. And she said, I've tried everything, drugs, alcohol, this, that, and going down the list. And I thought, oh Jesus, I don't want to know all that. And she's telling me all this stuff. And I said, well, she said, yeah, I believe God can touch you. And she said, well, when you said something weird, you said something like Holy Ghost. She said, when you said Holy Ghost when you were preaching, she said, all of a sudden something inside of me said, that's what's going to help me. I've got to receive what he's talking about. And I said, well, you're going to receive it. And she responded and said, no, I'm not. I said, why not? This is what she told me. She said, because I'm a lesbian. She said, God could not fill a lesbian with the Holy Ghost. I asked her, I said, who lied to you? And what book have you been reading? Because I never read it. Wait. I never read a scripture where it says this sinner is too much of a sinner to receive God's grace. Jesus said, I've come to seek and save those. those who are lost. Let me ask you this. If you've got the audacity to ridicule somebody's darkness, aren't you glad they didn't pause and ridicule your darkness? Aren't you glad? Wait a second. The Bible says that He pulled us out of darkness into His marvelous light. He didn't say how dark it was. He didn't say how far you could be. He just said, this promise is to all. Amen. Everybody listen. Now, I preached 32 minutes. Lord, help me. I wasn't supposed to preach today. I told you I wasn't preaching. I'm sorry. They know what's wrong with you? Not yet. She's got a baby in her, and she's over here sitting waiting on me. I'm sorry. She's pregnant. In Jesus' name. I feel bad. I'm sitting over here thinking, oh, God. We need to help her. Let me just bring this down to where you're living right now, okay? Everyone should, must, and can today receive the gift of God's Holy Spirit. And watch this. Everyone with just enough faith and just enough desire, you're going to receive that gift today. How do I know that? Because it is a gift, which means you cannot earn it. Amen. You can pray all day, all night. You can pray all week, how long you want, and you'll never earn it. Amen. It's a gift. You don't earn gifts. You earn your wages and you earn your salary. Amen. But this is a gift. Watch this. Someone purchased this gift for you. Amen. He paid for it with His own blood. This was a purchase that has no refunds. He didn't put you on layaway. He's not making payments. He made the payment. And here's the greatest part about this purchase. Nobody can steal it. See, y'all didn't believe that, or y'all didn't catch it just right. Because some of you are under the shadow of shame, believing that the devil has stolen something from you, but he can't steal anything that Jesus paid for with His own blood. The devil doesn't own it. He doesn't have any authority over it. Jesus owns it. It's your salvation. Y'all sit down. So in the next few moments, what we're going to do, in a few moments, I'm going to call some of our church people who have already received this gift to come, and they're going to stand on this first step right here, looking out, and they're going to be our what we might call our altar workers, or people who can help us pray. They're going to help pray for you. We're going to have men and women alike. These aren't necessarily licensed ministers or ordained ministers. These are just people just like you that have just already opened their gift, and they want to help you open your gift. And then I'm going to call everybody. There's at least 20 here today, and I believe God spoke a prophetic word a few nights ago that we would see 20 people filled with the gift of His Spirit, and it's going to be seen today. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. And I'm going to call for everyone to come forward who has not received His Spirit. Men and women, if there's young people, it doesn't matter. Your children, if they're in here still today and they want to receive it, doesn't matter how young or old you are. I've seen over 14,000 people filled with the Holy Spirit in the last few years. And I've seen everybody from Buddhist, I've seen everybody from Hindu, I've seen everybody from Muslim, from Iran. I've seen everybody you can imagine. I saw a man in prison with the name Satan written on his forehead. Receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I saw just a lady just 2 months or a month ago. I saw a lady at the most the strongest prison, I don't know how to put it in words, but the prison that puts the worst of the worst into this prison, this ladies' prison. I went and preached to them there, and a lady came up to the altar crying, and she was just sobbing, and she said, I really want to receive this gift. I really want to receive the Holy Spirit, but I don't know if I can. And I asked her, I said, well, what's wrong? She said, nobody knows my secret. I said, what is it? She said, I killed and murdered my own daughter. And that's why I'm in prison today. She said, but I don't want anybody to know because I'm so ashamed. She said, do you think God can give me the Holy Ghost? I said, I know. He wants to give you the Holy Ghost. She lifted up her hands, and in a few seconds' time, God filled her with His Spirit, and out of her belly came the rivers of living water as she began to speak with other tongues. Somebody shout, thank you, Jesus. So I'm going to call for those to come, and we're going to line up as far as we can, shoulder to shoulder. And if we need two lines, we're going to make multiple lines right here in just a moment. And what we're going to do is we're going to pray the prayer of faith. Everybody listen right here. I don't want you to come yet. Don't come yet. Just listen. We're going to pray the prayer of faith. What is that? That's just simply praying with boldness in the power of the name of Jesus. We're not going to ask, God, if there's any way, can you do this? Do you have any mercy? No, no, no. We're going to say, God, you want to do this, and we want to receive it. So in the name of Jesus, do it. And we're going to pray like that with faith. But then I'm going to give you a signal. I'm going to give you a signal to begin praising and worshiping, which means no more prayer. No more asking. When someone puts the gift in your lap, do you call Santa Claus and say, hey, give me that gift I asked for? You tell your wife, your husband, whoever, say, come on, I really want those shoes. And they say, hey, dummy, it's in your lap. Open the gift. Just open it. I've already given it. Watch this. When we begin to praise, we're going to understand He's already given the gift.
Yeah, that's it.
We are going to open it and receive it with our praise and worship. Because the Bible says God inhabits or dwells inside of the praises. Not the questions, but the praises of His people. And we're going to praise. And what we're going to do is we're going to praise in unity, beginning to shout hallelujah. We already know what that means. I give everything I have to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you're not going to stop giving your voice of praise. Hallelujah. And the very moment we start that praise and you lift up your hands to receive and your head is upward focusing on God, we're going to close our eyes so we're not distracted. And all of a sudden, as you're shouting hallelujah, someone's going to pray for you. And instantly, God's Spirit, the gift of His Spirit, is going to begin to fill your body. And the Bible says, out of your belly is going to flow the rivers of living water. And Jesus said, just like the wind blows, you don't see it, but you hear the sound. He said, so shall my people be who are filled with my Spirit. There's going to be a sound. You're going to start speaking in other sounds. Your tongue is going to start trembling, just like the Bible says. You say, explain it. I can't explain it. It is a supernatural experience that I can't explain. All I know is God took the one thing that we can't control, the tongue. The one thing that's got you in more trouble than anything else. The one thing that's caused wars and battles and everything else in this society. Hatred and division. Your tongue.
Amen. That's it.
You've never said, man, I wish my foot didn't do that today. You said, I wish I didn't say those words today. And God said, well, I'll show you what I can do with words. I'll show you what I can do with that tongue. The Bible says that's full of deadly poison. The Bible says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. And today your tongue is going to confess through the supernatural experience of receiving His Spirit that He is God today. I want you to stand to your feet right now, and I want you to give God a standing ovation of praise and worship unto God. Oh, shout! Shout! Hallelujah! Come on, just another moment. Let praise erupt. Let praise erupt in this house. What a mighty God! God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Now listen. When we pray this prayer of faith and all of you receive the Holy Ghost. Don't leave. Don't leave. It'll only take just a few moments. But what we're going to do is I'm going to come back up to this podium right here. And I'm going to ask you, which one of you has just received His Spirit for the first time? And we're going to see over 20 hands go up today. And we're going to give, oh, I feel Holy Ghost. We're going to give God the greatest shout of victory and triumph for what God has done. And if you've never been baptized, we have a baptistry of water that's warm and clean and fresh. You can drop your phone in there and not be ashamed. There's a baptistry right here that's warm water. We have robes you can change into and not get your own clothes wet, and towels you can dry off with, and changing rooms. But the greatest part about it is this weight you've been carrying. It doesn't belong to you. When you come out of that water under the name of Jesus, that weight will literally be transferred onto nail-scarred hands. And you will feel so light. You'll feel like you just came off a 30-day keto diet. You're going to feel so light. You're going to feel so good. You're going to feel guilt-free. You're going to have the best sleep tonight you've ever had because of the peace that passes all understanding that will consume. I feel the Holy Ghost. There's about to be a mighty wave of deliverance. There's about to be a mighty wave of liberty and freedom in this house. Chains are about to be broken. Very quickly, I want leaders, I want men and women filled with His Spirit and baptized in Jesus' name to come and stand up here very quickly. Run as quickly as you can. And I want you to stand on this first step. Stand on this first step facing outward. I need men and women. Come on, leaders, I need you to come right now. Come, come, come quickly. We need several more women. We need several more ladies. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. If you're unsure of if you can come and be used of God, you just come and step out and let Pastor correct you. It's all right. Just step out by faith. Amen. Come on. That's it. I wonder if there's some of our young people, are there any teenagers or young adults in here today that are filled with His Spirit already, baptized in Jesus' name, that can join us? There we go. Come on, buddy. Come on, some young people. Amen. Here she comes. Here he comes. Come on, young people. Guess what? You don't have a teenager Holy Ghost. You've got the Holy Ghost. You can be used of God. Come on. Amen. Now, what I want the rest of you to do, and those that are standing up here, what I want everybody to do right now is listen. And secondly, if you have already received this gift with the evidence of speaking in other tongues like the Bible says, I want you to raise a hand and keep it up for just a moment. You've already received this gift. You know where you were. You know when it happened. And you'll never forget it. It's happened, and you'll never forget that day you received the gift of His Spirit. As your hand is raised, I want those whose hands are down to look around and realize you're at the right place at the right time to receive a gift that's about to change your life. And to all my hand raisers, it's time for you to step out by faith. I want you to turn around and look for somebody whose hand is down. Look for somebody whose hand is down. Maybe if someone's hand is halfway raised, that means they're not sure. And I want you to ask that person whose hand is down, I want you to ask them this question. Will you come with me to receive the gift of God's Spirit today? Ask them that question. Will you come with me to the front to receive the gift of God's Spirit? Will you come with me to the front to receive the gift of God's Holy Spirit? And I want that group, you can put your hands down. I want the group who's never received God's Spirit. I want you to come right now to this altar as quickly as you can. And I want these leaders, everybody listen, stop praying. Leaders, I want you to line them up in front of you, shoulder to shoulder. Just be bold and have faith. And I want you to help them line up shoulder to shoulder right here. Do not pray. Just line up shoulder to shoulder right here. If we need a second line, we can start a second line. But right now, we have plenty of room for just one line. Shoulder to shoulder. That's it. Perfect. Come on. Push in. And I want everybody that's still, that's still in your seat, I want you to come as close to you as close as you can and fill these front seats. Everybody get close. Everybody get close. Everybody get close. Everybody get close. Step out of your seat and I want you to come and get in these front seats right here. We're going to get close. In one mind and in one place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Go ahead. Step up as close as you can to this front. Shoulder to shoulder. Line them up. Amen. Shoulder to shoulder. One line if you can. If not, we'll do two lines. Amen. We're giving them just another minute. If you've never received it, come forward all the way. If you're not sure, you're saying, you know, I really don't know. I might have. I felt good. I felt goosebumps, but I don't know if I received it. I want you to come forward and know today that you have received it. Amen. Now, for those of you that have stepped forward, amen. Anybody else? Those of you that have stepped forward, I want you quickly just to raise a hand, just one hand. Raise one hand if you've come forward to receive His Spirit. Raise one hand. Count them this way. How many do we have? How many hand raisers do we have here? I can't see them all. Somebody give a quick estimate here.
About 14, 15.
At least 15 or so. Amen. 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 You may put your hands down. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now listen. You have stepped out by faith. And now God is about to draw near to you. As the scripture says, if you'll draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh unto you. And all we're going to do, you say, I don't know how to do this. I'm about to help you. And it's about to be the easiest thing you've ever done in church. Because it is the gift that He died to give you. He wants you to have it so bad, He let them put nails through His hands. That's how bad He wants you to have this gift. Amen? So what we're going to do in just a minute, when I tell you to, I'm going to give you the green light. And when I say so, you're going to lift your hands and you're going to lift up your head towards heaven. This is a sign of faith. When your hands are down, your hands are folded, your head is down, it represents fear, shame, or doubt, or condemnation, or insecurity. That's why when you lift up your head and you lift your hands, it immediately represents faith and expectation, confidence and courage. Jesus said, lift up your head for your redemption draws nigh. But the other thing we're going to do in a moment when I tell you is we're going to close our eyes and just use our imagination of faith to picture His presence, His grace, His mercy, His love, the blood that He poured out for you and the Spirit He is giving you. And when I shout hallelujah, when I shout hallelujah, that is your signal to begin shouting hallelujah as loud as you can. And the very instant that praise leaves your mouth, the Holy Spirit of God is going to fill you up. You're going to feel it in your stomach, in your gut, in your soul. And all of a sudden, your tongue is going to show the evidence of that thing, of that Spirit. It's going to begin to shake and flutter uncontrollably. It's going to sound weird. It's going to feel weird. But don't worry about it. What I urge you to do is just let God take control. Remember, you provide the voice, but God's Spirit will provide the utterance or the words, the sound of it. Don't worry about the sound, but you just continue praising, getting lost in His presence, and all of a sudden His Spirit will be poured into you, and those utterances will be poured out of you. Everybody say, in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
What I want you to do right now, I want you to lift up your hands as high as you can, as you're capable. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to lift your head upward right now, and I want you just to take a moment and just envision His grace and His love. To my leaders and altar workers, when we shout hallelujah, I want you to march like an army and begin to pray with boldness, laying your hand upon their head, speaking the word of faith, saying, in the name of Jesus, receive the Holy Ghost. To all of those seekers, I want you to say this with me right now. I want you to say, Jesus, I have given my life to you today. So I've given my life to you today.
My life.
Come on, everybody say, Jesus, I've given my life to you. Say it, I want to receive your Spirit. Now with faith, I want you to say, Jesus, I will receive your Spirit today. Speaking in other tongues. Say, in the name of Jesus. Now somebody just say, thank you, Jesus. Here it comes. Get ready. Get ready to shout. Get ready to shout. Close your eyes. Lift up your hands. By the authority of the Word of God and by the power of the name of Jesus, I command you to receive the Holy Ghost right now. Hallelujah! Go! Go, altar workers! Go, leaders! Go! 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 Go!
Never going back.
Speak another tongue.
Never going back to the way.
Speak another tongue.
It was.
Speak another tongue.
Never going back.
Speak to the power.
Never going back.
I want you to close your eyes.
Never going back.
That's it. Just focus on Jesus. And I just want you to say thank you, Jesus. See, you have to use your words. That's why he gave you that, okay? You're using your hands. You're using your feet to stand for him. Now you have to use your words to speak to him, okay? Say, Jesus, I love you. Say, I want to know who you are. And I want to receive your Spirit. Say, I want to receive your Spirit. Say, I will receive it today. Say, in the name of Jesus. That's it. Now listen. You're going to begin to praise him, saying hallelujah. And all I'm going to do is lay my hand on your head. And immediately, you're
going to
be filled with God.
And we're going to know that you have evidence. To the way it used to be before your presence came and changed me. I won't go back, can't go back to the way it used to be before your presence came and changed me. I am never going back, never going back. Never going back to the way it was. Never going back. Never going back. Never going back to the way it was. I am never going back. I am never going back. Never going back to the way it was. And I won't go back, can't go back to the way it used to be before your presence came and changed me. I won't go back, can't go back to the way it used to be before your presence came and changed me. I've been changed, healed, freed, delivered. I found joy, peace, grace.
Hallelujah! Praise God. But keep going. You got the gift. Keep going. Yes. That's it. Go ahead. Go ahead. Receive the Holy Ghost. Speak out with faith. Speak out with faith. With faith. Speak under the power of the Holy Ghost.
Won't go back. I can't go back to the way it used to be before your presence came and changed.
One more time. One more time. Go ahead. Listen, we had several people just receive the gift of God's Spirit right now. But we're going to pray again. Amen. We're going to pray again. And if we need a little more instruction, I'll give it. Amen. Just to help you. I noticed a young lady right here just needed one little piece of instruction. And the moment she did that thing, boom, it happened. Amen. Sometimes we just need someone to help us. That's what we have these leaders here for, helping us pray. Amen. Amen. So very quickly, I want to ask. If you just received, everybody listen for just a moment right here, brother. Hold on just a second. If you just received the gift of God's Spirit with the evidence of speaking new sounds you've never spoken before, I want you to raise a hand really quickly. Raise it up high. Amen. Raise it up high. There's two here. There's two more over here. Amen. I'm going to check with this girl. Five, six. Amen. Amen. About six people. Amen. If you're still seeking, I want you to raise a hand. Would you raise a hand if you're still seeking? We had about 15 or so. So there should be around 10 people. Amen. Amen. I want you to listen. I'm going to give you just a little help, a little piece of instruction, okay? What we're going to do is we're going to pray again, okay? And before I give that instruction, this is what I want to say. Sister Hanson, you're going to be my helper here. I don't see my friend. If you want to be baptized today, Sister Hanson is our first lady, our pastor's wife. She's amazing. And if you want to be baptized today, you either come find her or come find anybody. But if you see her, I want you to come find her. And you say, I want to be baptized today. I don't want to leave with this weight on my shoulders anymore. I'm ready to be baptized. For some of you who are seeking the Holy Ghost, and you say, I don't feel like I've broken through. I can't seem to break through. If you haven't been baptized, I just encourage you with every fiber of my being. You should choose to be baptized today. And I promise you, you'll see the breakthrough happen the moment your sins are washed away in Jesus' name. You can receive the Holy Ghost instantly the moment you come out of that water under the power of the name of Jesus. Sister Hanson, will you raise a hand? And if you want to be baptized today, I want you to come stand in front of her. Come stand near her right now. We're going to give you an opportunity to step out by faith. If you want it, we're going to give you just 30 seconds. Now, you can respond later, but if you want to be baptized right now, would you come stand right over here in Jesus' name? Here's my buddy. He's going to stand over here with us too for our men. Amen. If you want to come, if you're a man, you want to come stand with this brother McMurphy. Brother McMurphy. I want to say McDonald's. Brother McMurphy. If you want to be baptized today, come stand right over here with Brother McMurphy right here. Anybody want to be baptized today? Amen. There's still some people talking about it, I can see. Here comes someone to break the ice. Here comes somebody right here. Here comes another young lady right here. Amen. God bless you. A for apostolic. Sister Hanson, you got this lady here. Amen. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Now, they're going to lead them, and if you want to be baptized, you can go with them, and they're going to lead them where to go. But for those that are still seeking, and you want it, if you want to receive His Spirit, I want you to look right here. Everybody listen. Just look right here. We're going to do this fast. I know you're hungry. I know you want to go, but just listen. I can see the hunger, spiritual hunger in your eyes, especially this lady right here in front of me. Amen. Now, just look right here. I'm going to help you, okay? I'm going to give you just a couple of pieces of instruction. Someone else wants to come. Amen. Now, listen very quickly. Everybody can listen for just a moment. No distractions. This is very important. I want everybody to understand what's happening right now. We are praying for people's eternal direction right now. There's nothing more important than that. No conversation, no discussion, no topic is more important than what we're doing right here, right now. Amen. Let's all focus on this right here. What we're about to do again is we're going to pray, okay? And number one is you're going to lift up your hands again like you've already done. Number two, you're going to close your eyes like you've already done. But this time, when you close your eyes, you're going to make up in your mind, my eyes will not open again until I receive His Spirit. And it's going to happen right now. And what you're going to do is you're going to get lost in His presence. Listen to this piece of instruction very clearly. Do not seek the evidence of tongues. Some of you have done that today. Oh, I got to speak in tongues. How can I speak in tongues? Oh, I got to do it. I can't. No, don't seek the sign. Seek the Spirit. Okay? Don't seek the miracle of speaking in tongues, the evidence that God gave us. Seek the miracle of receiving that Spirit, that experience. So don't even think about what you're saying. Don't even think about those words. Just get lost in His love and His presence. And when you begin to say what you feel, I love You, Jesus. I want to know You, God. I need Your help. I need Your love in my life. I need Your direction in my life, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. And you begin to praise and you forget about the tongues and you forget about that. All of a sudden, it'll begin to break inside of you. But what you have to do, you must do it. You have to use your voice. See, you're using your hands, lifting them up. You're using your feet, standing your ground for faith to Him. You must use your words to speak praise to Him. That's how He accesses you, is through your words. I can't give you a 30-minute Bible study on that right now. But He accesses you through your words of faith. Even God Himself, when He created the heavens and earth, had to speak His words, let there be light. He wants you to speak your words. God, fill me with Your Spirit. Hallelujah, Jesus. And when you're speaking your words, don't stop. Whatever you do, don't get discouraged and don't stop. Just continue going down that hall of faith, walking down that path of faith, getting lost in His presence, saying, hallelujah, hallelujah. And then all of a sudden, there will be this breaking in you where nothing can stop.